So today is 28 January 2021, Thursday class. And it also is Thai Bosom. So wishing all those who celebrate Thai Bosom a happy Thai Bosom Day. Then it's a Thursday class. We will continue from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teaching based on the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Before we start the class, as usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light, then I will set the alarm, so you can proceed with your meditation. So this awareness-based meditation is very useful, very important. It helps you develop the meditative mind to meditate. So the purpose of awareness-based meditation is to develop awareness or mindfulness within us. So this awareness, when it starts to arise, is still not stable. That's why we have to stabilize it. So the fourth support for you to develop is relax body and mind. Whatever happened, let it be. Thought arise, let it be. Do not do anything. Don't try to know. Don't resist. Don't even try to use your thought to do things. Well, that one will lead to more proliferation of thought and also thought-based meditation. So whatever thought that arise due to the mind that is untrained, let it arise. Yeah, this is the mundane mind. Before the spiritual faculties are developed, stabilized, it will have the mental hindrance. That's why it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. There's a reason why it creates heedless thinking. It creates the heedless thinking mind. So the untrained mind think a lot. The untrained mind is heedless. Understand that. Do not resist. Don't try to do anything. Let it be. If you don't resist, you don't create mental hindrance, it will slow down. Then it will cease. And when it ceases, because you relax and don't do anything, you just maintain awareness, you develop the ability to realize that silent within, the silent mind, the awareness nature. So this is how you should develop the understanding to meditate. So relax, aware. Then the third support is maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Whatever happened, arise, let it pass away. Aware. No more. Away, no more. That's it. Let whatever happen arise. That's it. Don't try to know. That is to help you stabilize the awareness. Okay, I'll let you develop the meditation on your own. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation, trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness for as long as you can. Then use this mind state to develop your life and also to have a good religious routine, daily religious routine, to actually endeavor your very best to maintain that mindfulness. So mindfulness in the midst of life is very important. Your mindfulness must stabilize until it can be developed into heedfulness. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So heedfulness is very important. To be heedful, you must develop two qualities. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So the first quality ever mindful can be developed after you have trained your mind to be aware or mindful, then stabilize it. And when you are able to be mindful in the midst of life, your sitting meditation and formal meditation become very easy. Then with that, your daily mindfulness will come about and stabilize. Then you can develop sati sampajana very easily. When this daily mindfulness arise and stabilize, it will lead to mindfulness and clear comprehension in the midst of life. And that is step 5 of the Avijja Sutta. But before that, you must constantly listen to the Dhamma, which is step 2 of Avijja Sutta. Then straighten your view, reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Then maintain mindfulness training. Then investigate into Dhamma to arise the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, which is step 3 of Avijja Sutta. Then when you do that, you will develop the initial wisdom, which is Yoniso Manasikara, step 4 of Avijja Sutta. That's how you progress. Then the form of meditation is initially to stabilize the awareness nature, the sati, so that you train until your mind enters sati. Then when your mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness will pick up. Everything you do will be in sati. Yeah. So this is a very important understanding. When you can do that, then you will progress. You will be able to awaken. So all these are very important understanding. We will continue from page 103. Yeah? The book is The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teaching from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Hu Liang Yi Jing. In addition to those who are blind, there are also people who are deaf, mute, or lack the sense of smell due to impairment of the ear, nose, or speech organs. When people are speaking, deaf people can only observe their facial expressions and may become suspicious of what others are saying. Once there is such doubt, they may misconstrue what is being said and believe that they are being made fun of. The more troubled they become, the more inferior they feel. Then they often start rejecting the company of other people. In this situation, it would be good if someone could patiently counsel them, saying, "You do not hear any of the negative speeches in the world. So your ear root is already very pure. For this reason, you are able to choose to be grateful and be contented. Although you cannot hear, you still have a healthy brain and heart. You can still realize your inner potential." This kind of guidance can help the hearing impaired overcome any thoughts of inferiority and live as equal with everyone else. They turn those who are confused, in chaos, or in panic towards right mindfulness. The state of confusion, chaos, or panic is not only experienced by those suffering from illness of the mind. Some people may appear to possess all their faculties, but their mind are confused, even though what they say may sound reasonable, their perspective is distorted. They are polite and courteous in front of you, but spread malicious lies or gossips and sow discord behind their backs. They lack proper views and understanding and thus constantly create evil karma. So these are the aspects of various types of human behavior. So this description is just for people who may not understand the various impairment of living beings. Living beings, some of them, they are not so fortunate because of karma. Some of their senses, they are born defect. Some are born blind. Some are born deaf. They cannot hear, that is deaf. Then they cannot speak, that is their speech are impaired. So this impairment thing due to karma. So when we can have full normality in our senses, we should be very, very happy. We should thank our good karma for giving us a perfect human body when we arise or when we are born into this world. Then having survived until this age, our senses are still working or functioning very well. We should really thank our good karma, our good blessings. So compared to those that are less fortunate. Then there is also one part where the author mentioned some deluded human being, or so the senses part, I haven't finished the last part. Some may have their senses completely normal, but because of their ignorance and delusion, they are still confused. So in that sense, they don't have the appropriate right view, right understanding. They don't have Dhamma. So they are actually, comparison-wise, maybe worse than those that have senses impairment. Those who have senses impairment know their limitation and they are very keen to learn and to diligently correct themselves or work harder to overcome their limitation. That's why some of these impaired people, they call it there's an English word, disabled, sorry, yeah. The Malay word I remember, okay, orang kurang upaya. My English word is, disabled people. Means they have senses impairment. So most of these people, they are very keen to prove themselves that they can be like ordinary normal people and able to perform. Some of them, maybe the senses are intact, but they lose their function of certain of their limbs. Some are without one hand, or some without both hands, some without one leg, some without both legs, and many other possibility. Some are born with that condition, but some, due to accident, they have all this and they develop all this impairment. And if you have paralysis, of course, it's also another impairment. Okay, we'll go on and continue from our sharing. Illness of the mind can be classified into two types or two kinds, apparent and unapparent. Apparent illness can be seen in behavior such as strange facial expression, aberration in speeches, or abnormal conduct. Such an internal disorder expresses itself externally can sometimes be cured with medication. An apparent illness are more worrisome. These are caused by deviant thoughts of the mind. And since it has no physical manifestation, it cannot be detected, prevented, or treated by medical science. Such illness of the mind can only be treated by establishing good relationship with those suffering from it and guiding them to take the Dhamma into their heart. So these two kinds, apparent and unapparent illness of the mind that people have, you actually need to attend to them differently. Because the unapparent one need Dhamma. The apparent one is physical misnormal. Very likely is karmically conditioned. So all this, you can actually treat them. One of them, the apparent one, is medical science. You need medical science, medical treatment. But spiritually, it can also be done. But it has to be done with understanding. Because based on the Buddha's teaching, this one is what my nature realized. If you have the apparent type of impairment or illness of mind that lead to all this problem, then you can do three things to recover. First, knowing that we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So whatever that arises within our form and mind, very likely, almost surely, or almost 100%, is definitely something to do with karma. So if it's a karmic thing, then we have to seek repentance, ask for forgiveness from all the beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly, from the distant past until now, whether our nature have done to them, out to them, any karmic negativity, suffering, misery, or misled. We like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. And may this sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all. Then you wish them well-being and happiness. May they be well and happy always. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem bless them too. So if you do this, it will help you break the karmic obstruction. Then you will have more condition to recover. But when you do it, you have to do it sincerely, with understanding and with faith. So after you have decided to do it, then you must follow up with that repentance by reciting this. To develop this repentance sincerely, you must reflect and contemplate to develop the understanding that all this negativity or thought process, they come about because of delusion or ignorance. So when you develop this understanding, then you will be able to vow not to repeat all this coming negativity again, but to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind, so that you will not commit all those coming negativity again. So when you decide to go ahead with this second commitment, your life will change. You will develop more wholesomeness. You will be able to start avoiding all evil, preventing evil karma from accumulating further. That as you develop this until you are very, very clear about the teaching, the stability of it, and the faith become very strong, your life become very different. Then when you do this, means you are cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Basically, Noble Eightfold Path is to avoid all evil, the good, and purify your mind to develop wisdom. So when you do this, you will cultivate all the wholesomeness, the goodness, the 10 meritorious action, all you will develop them. And your life will change. Then you have a lot of merits, a lot of parami, a lot of wholesomeness. And the third way is to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover from such illness or impairment or problem or whatever is appropriate. You do this three, the nature's law will bring about a solution. It can help you solve a lot of this type of problem. Then it's like miracle can happen, but it's nothing to do with miracle. It's just an understanding of nature's law, and this is how nature's law function, and this is how things actually can be developed through understanding to transform or bring about solution via proper understanding. Okay, so this is the part I would like to add. It's not in the book, so people who have the understanding can use it. Next, we continue. Some people had misguided views in the past, but after coming into contact with Ziji, they slowly start to change their bad habits and incorrect perspective, and gradually learn to help others out of love. This is how the Dharma can be used to cure people. They can use Dharma water to cleanse their mind and correct their erroneous ideas and problematic behavior. This is how they are turned. This is how the English is being phrased, maybe not so smooth. This is how they are turned towards right mindfulness. Okay, never mind. My daughter say their intended meaning is they change them to develop right mindfulness. That's why they use the word turn towards that direction of right mindfulness. Yeah, we should add in the word turn towards that direction of right mindfulness. After achieving great right mindfulness, actually, what is the Mandarin word? Can you read? Oh, 大正念. Great right mindfulness, direct translation. Maybe the meaning is when you have stabilized your mindfulness until it becomes balas, power. That's why they use the word great in Mahayana or Mandarin. Da zhen nian, big, great mindfulness. So after achieving means after you have developed it or stabilized it, then when this stable great mindfulness arise, if they can go one step further to help people or others, they will be able to attain a blessed life where they had a healthy body and mind, are replete with blessings and wisdom, can cultivate or practice according to the Dhamma, and have right mindfulness and complete faculties. They describe it. I think they have trouble finding the English word to translate the partner. But basically the gist of it is very simple. means after you have trained yourself and developed that stability of mindfulness until it becomes balance, no? Power, then you can have that, means you will develop a lot of wisdom and understanding. Then you can go one step further to help others. Then you will be able to attain a blessed life where your body and mind will be healthy and you will be endowed with blessings and wisdom. And you can cultivate according to the Dhamma way. Then you will have right mindfulness and complete faculties. Means you become a cultivator. Siu-sing-zi. A cultivator or Dhamma practitioner. Early in 2007, storm in Bolivia caused a severe flood and landslide. At the time, a Taiwanese businessman living in Bolivia returned to Taiwan and participated in Cixi's year-end blessing ceremony. While chanting with a volunteer, he recounted the poverty and suffering of the Bolivian people. This conversation led to the start of Cixi's charity effort in Bolivia. This exemplifies the idea that bodhisattvas arise due to the suffering of living beings. So this is one of the examples. All kinds of positive causes and conditions stem from a single thought that arise when people hear about or witness suffering. With a sympathetic mind and a bodhisattva's heart, when people hear about others experiencing hardship in a way, if the conditions are right or appropriate, they will serve as bodhisattva by going there to help. This is very true in life. Whenever there is condition, I realize things happen and it happens for the better. It's just like when my nature come to understand the Dhamma, I have seen and witnessed many manifestations. When there are causes and conditions for certain things to happen, the sign will come, the condition will arise. Then things will happen and unfold, and it can become very beautiful. Just from that few signs and conditions, normally it's due to certain people having the condition to receive help. It can be in whatever form, but it will happen. There was one occasion I remember many years back. There was a student who was very poor, I think of an Indian origin, from Penang. He was very poor and he can't even get the higher education loan because he studied medicine in one of the local university, Ames University, I think somewhere in Sungai Petani, Kedah. Then he had a lot of financial issue. He can only afford to have enough money to register for the course and study for about less than a term. Then the university starts to chase him to pay up the fee, but he don't have the fee. He don't have the money to pay the fee. So what happened was he was trying very, very hard, struggling during that few months to actually apply for loan, apply for scholarship, apply for higher education loan, private sponsor. He wrote to many organizations, but not much success. And suddenly, I don't know how he managed to contact some of this Buddhist group. One of them, I think, is Wave. Then I think Pearly and Eric, they wrote to me, they text me, and then through the email, I received this message about this student. So for me, the condition arises, and this is something my nature want to do, where I know to deprive a student of ability to study because of poverty or financial issue is actually something very, very, I don't know what word to use, very unfortunate maybe. So I try to help. But at that time, I already have my Kayamita and my group. Then I also have the ability to help. Then I call up Pearly and Eric. They say they don't know. They just received from somebody, but they feel that it's genuine. So they say they forward the thing. Then I ask for the contact, the phone number. So finally I got it. Then I call up the university, AMC University. I confirm there is such a student. Then I told the faculty people, I said, I need this student to call me. Yeah. Then after he called me, I told him, okay, I have checked up. Your case is genuine. So I believe I can help you. But I need you to talk to your faculty dean, the dean of engineering, to talk to the university vice chancellor office so that they can agree to let you take the exam while I raise the needed fund for you. I think he need immediately to pay off that almost 50,000 debt in fees and all that thing. Otherwise, he cannot sit for the exam. So after he contacted the dean called me. Then I say, yes, I am willing to do that. I undertake and guarantee the payment of the fee. But you let him take the exam. And I say within 2 weeks, maximum 3 weeks, I will deliver the money. So that was how it goes. And finally, it went through. And that story was a very classic. Finally, the student, the 5 year fees, all. Not that I raise everything, I only help him first year. Then the surplus fees help him to go through part of second year, I think. So third year, fourth year, I think he raised some money himself through scholarship and some form of loan, I think. Then the final year again, he need help. He got no choice. Until that time, I say, okay, final year, I can do it for you one more time. So that final year, I actually asked my engineering faculty classmates to help out. So within 1 day, less than 1 day, somebody volunteered to undertake the whole thing. So very fast we raised the money. So that was how the condition arise, and meant to be will be. So this like a wholesomeness. Sometimes you may not understand. It's just somebody's kind thought, and they just send it out. And when there is condition and affinity, things will happen. Then he managed to finish off his exam and became a doctor. And the beautiful thing was, during those few years, after he took the first year exam, the second year, third year, and final year, he kept on writing to me and update me on the courses and all those things. Until I also understand how a kid go through medical course. So it was quite an experience for me too. But I wish him well. Then I sent my pure wish too. So he finally graduated and became a doctor. But I lost contact with him. I don't know where he is now. So that was the story. Okay, we go back to the sharing. As soon as Hsu-Chi volunteers in the United States learn of the crisis in Bolivia, they immediately volunteered to take on the responsibility of carrying out relief work. So this is the same. A businessman from there came over to Hsu-Chi. Then I think he must be very impressed with what Hsu-Chi do. Then he started toiling with the idea of setting up Tsuji in Bolivia. So that's how it happened. That's why from a single kind thought, wholesome thought, what they call wholesome thought, that leads to all this good condition unfolding. So because Bolivia is South America, so the closest are the Tsuji volunteers in the United States. So when they immediately volunteer to take on the responsibility of carrying out relief work there, that's how it happened. Then the reason is, as Taiwan is very far away from Bolivia, they decide to take up that responsibility. When I asked them how long does it take to travel to the disaster area, they answered, it is a 7 or 8 hour flight. Wow, quite far. Followed by a 6 to 7 hour drive. Wow, total almost 14 to 15 hours. Truly, the journey was very long, especially since within the disaster area, most of the road has been destroyed, which makes traveling very difficult. However, off they went, unafraid of the hardship that they might have to endure. Seeing that 30 volunteers from the United States were willing to travel such a distance, 30 volunteers in Paraguay and Argentina, which are both located in South American continent, also mobilized to participate in the relief effort. Those who had the financial means took a plane, others traveled by car, bringing with them its supplies to be distributed. I asked them, how far are you from the disaster area? About 1 hour by plane, but 40 hours by car. So that is far. 40 hours is like Singapore to Alostar. Oh, maybe more than that. Hey, but 1 hour flight is about that. Not at all. We are grateful for the opportunity to contribute. In order to give of themselves to help others, Tsuji volunteers are undaunted by dangerous road and long distance. Their pace never slackens or stops. After witnessing suffering, they cherish what they have all the more. After assessing the disaster situation in Bolivia, the volunteers realized that not only was the area impoverished and rife with widespread health problems, it also lacked facility for the physically and mentally disabled, because they practice right Dhamma. For each of these problems, 30 volunteers did what they could to help. Inside the heart of every person is a mirror. As long as we accept and have faith in right Dhamma and live it out in our life, our mirror will be bright and clear, clearly reflecting our external condition. This is how we can cultivate according to the Dhamma and have right mindfulness and complete faculties. A healthy body is a blessing in life. A healthy mind gives rise to wisdom. Very true. Having both a healthy body and mind is more important than having materialistic belong. Actually, it should be possession, instead of the word belonging, possession. It is more valuable than fame, power, or wealth. The goal of the four mission of Tsuji is to deliver all sentient beings from suffering and to treat the disease of the body and mind. Illness affects not only body but also mind. Illness of mind requires spiritual medicine, which is inseparable from the teachings of religion. If we can observe people with wisdom, treat them in accordance with their illness, and teach them according to their capacity or capabilities. We can create a world of well-being. We can become great medicine king who treat the suffering of all living beings. This is very good. So this part, I think, cover their relief operation. How the condition arise for them to do this, and how the various volunteer city member from United States and some other country in South America, Paraguay and one more country, I forgot the name, they just go. And because they are sincere, they have this noble intent or vision to do that work, to help relieve human suffering, to help create better conditions for suffering beings to actually recover and to gain back their life, to have the faith, the understanding. So when you are able to do that, these people, when they recover, they will have a lot of compassion to gratitude towards you. And when they benefited from your work, they will believe in your organization. Then they will join to become Ciji volunteer because they have benefited from your noble vision or noble duties. So this is how I believe Ciji able to expand all over the world globally. Because the more relief work they do, more people able to witness all this and benefited from all this, they will become voluntary Ciji members. And this will get a force, because as more and more people do this, the Dhamma actually will transform living beings. The Dhamma will bring forth the causes and conditions for people's life to improve, to change for the better. And when you do this, the interconnectedness of all this wholesomeness will bring forth the causes and conditions for it to actually evolve into a great strong bond or a great coming affinity, transforming it into reality, the ability of living beings or sentient beings to work together for the betterment of the world, for the betterment of society, for the betterment of all. That's how all these organizations can grow and become very big. They all started small, like Ciji, but they grow and become so famous, so big globally, and able to impact the life of so many sentient beings and help relieve so much suffering in the world. The Buddha is called the great medicine king for four reasons. He knows the illness from which sentient beings suffer, the truth of suffering. He knows the cause of its arising or this illness, the causation of suffering. He knows the medicine to prescribe, the path that lead to the cessation of suffering. He knows whether the disease has been cured or not, the actual cessation of suffering. The Buddha understands the illness of sentient beings, and therefore is the great medicine king. So this one is very important. This understanding can be broken into four parts. The Buddha understands the illness of sentient beings. So this one is a figurative phrase. And therefore is called the great medicine king. This understanding can be broken into four parts, or divided into four aspects. First, he understands the illness from which sentient beings suffer. When we are healthy, we do not know suffering and work only to satisfy our constant desire. However, the sick and suffering in hospital often say, "I don't want anything. All I ask for is to be free of disease or sickness or illness. I really am from being able to move about freely. I ask, however, the sick and the suffering in hospital often say, I don't want anything. All I ask for is to be free from illness or sickness and disease. I really envy you all for being able to move about freely. Lack of freedom is truly painful. This one refers to those who have impairment, sickness, disease, and illness. Suffering does not only come from the body, but also from the mind. The body and the mind experience different kinds of illness. Among the four suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death, illness is the most painful. Therefore, the Buddha said among the eight fields of blessing, treating illness is the foremost. So this one, if you want, you can take note. Eh? That's why the medical profession, those who are ethical and sincere, is a very noble profession. So my dad last time was a Chinese sensei. He helped a lot of people to recover from illness and disease. He's a very good Chinese sensei. And he is very talented too. And he's very sincere, very kind, very generous too. Second, the Buddha believes, second, the Buddha understands the cause of arising of the illness. When people fall sick, they will consult a doctor who can diagnose the disease and treat it with the right medicine. The Buddha is both a physician and a psychologist for all sentient beings. As the great enlightened one of the universe, and the kind father of all sentient beings. His profound understanding of the mind and nature of all sentient beings allow him to quickly diagnose the cause of their illness. So this is in the spiritual sense, spiritual wisdom or understanding. With today's advanced medical science, various technologies can be employed in diagnosis, and the cause of illness can be identified and analyzed in increasingly greater detail. Yet many ages ago, the Buddha was already able to determine that the illness of all sentient beings originated from the principles underlying the working and interaction of our body and mind, means karma. Thirdly, the Buddha understands which medication to prescribe. In ancient times, many patriarchs and sages not only meditated in temples, but also learned the principle of psychology and how to diagnose and treat illness as part of their spiritual practice. Once a person has a deep understanding of the Buddha Dharma or Buddhist principle, they will naturally embark on the study of the working of the body. This is because all knowledge in the world is related to the principles of the four states of body and mind. So here, I think we have to differentiate between spiritual understanding and the actual medical field. If you have a physical condition, you really need to develop the understanding. Physical disease or illness may need most of the time the actual medical people to help you. Those who have studied medicine or who are skillful in prescribing the medicine for you to recover. You have to really seek them. Even though spiritually, it can also bring forth the causes and conditions to help you. But the spiritual understanding one cannot treat those that are already quite severely affecting you, the physical disease and all those things. Of course, there is this understanding body and mind medicine. Body and mind medicine. So most of the sickness or disease of body, you need medication from the doctors. But when it comes to mind, you really need Dhamma understanding. But the medical field also have their specialists or trained professional to treat them. They are called psychiatrists or psychologists. But when it comes to spiritual understanding, the real mental suffering of living being, I think, needs spiritual understanding. That's why body and mind medicine is a combination of two. In order to heal mentally, to be free from suffering, misery, and attachment through wrong view or sakayadity, self-delusion, you need Dhamma medicine. You need spiritual understanding, mind. So when the mind is healed, it will actually help the body to heal too. But body and mind, you can together heal, is the best. So sometimes certain type of disease, you need doctor, no doubt. You cannot like try to be a hero, thinking that you are a cultivator, you are a great spiritual cultivator or Dhamma practitioner, or you don't need doctor. No, even during the Buddha's time, he also have to get the people who are skillful in healing or helping him recover to attend to him. So just like in the year 2013, there was already 7 to 8 years, coming to 8 years ago, I also went through and I don't call it an operation, but it's a medical procedure where they do this angioplasty to clear my artery block. Out of the three artery, two were very severely blocked. The third one is not so bad, 30%. There was 100% almost. Then the other one is 70+. So I had to go through. Although my spiritual understanding helped me for quite a while. Otherwise I could have had a heart attack and could have died earlier. But because of my spiritual understanding and my sensitivity, I was able to understand what is going on. Then there was also the sign that came 3 months before I decided to admit myself. The sign came from my nature, asking me to check. You better check. Something is not right from inside. Then I say, why? I'm still okay. Then the answer came. Then later on, exactly 3 months later, really, I almost had an attack. Then when I decided to self-admit, I actually discovered when I was at the hospital, when they did the ECG, everything, they told me actually I had a heart attack. But I was lucky that nothing happened to me. I recovered very fast. Then after that, they say, we have to monitor you. Then later on, after I was discharged, I seek a second opinion. And this time I did a very accurate check and test. Then they discovered actually it was the artery problem, the block. Then I managed to find a very good and skillful and experienced doctor to do it for me. So that's how I was able to overcome that. And since then until now, I am still in good shape, good health. In fact, I'm more healthy than I was before because they managed to clear my blockage. So all this, you have to understand. When you need to see a doctor, consult a doctor, you have to. You cannot try to be a hero. You can heal your mind state because of your Dhamma understanding. You have developed the wisdom, the penetrative understanding. You will not have problem, but bodily sickness or bodily condition that need medication to clear faster, you need to go for it, you go for it. So that is something that the medical field has developed progress. So there are many things that medication can help, can actually bring forth very fast relief. Take for example a very simple thing. When I was young, I didn't quite understand. This one I think I must share with you, or this is very important. Maybe to some of you who has used this medication before, to you it's like something very normal, you take for granted, but actually it's not. Because I was helping my father when I was young, as a kid. I actually helped him to sell Chinese medicine, attend to the customer. That's why I know a lot of Chinese dialect because of that experience and exposure. Then I learned a lot of medical things. My father sell mainly Chinese medicine, but he also has some Western medicine with him, but not the sophisticated type that need pharmacists. This one is the normal Chinese medical hall shop where they sell this type of thing, like Western medicine, the cream and all those things. So in the early days when I was young, whenever somebody has a wound or a cut or an injury, my father always recommend the yellow lotion, or the blue purple color type of indigo. Iodine also has, but the blue one, Lam Yo Chui. So this one actually is a type of antiseptic, but I doesn't know. Then later on, when I grew up, when I came down to KL to study, then when I graduated, then I went to the actual pharmacist. Then the pharmacist told me, why do you still look for this type of thing? I say, since young, I am from the Chinese medical hall tradition. I use this one. No, he said, it's the deal. Now we have antiseptic cream, he said. No need all this thing. We even have the alcohol swab to help you to clean the wound and all this thing. Then we even have this, what they call, I don't know what they call it, the liquid is also antiseptic. I think must be alcohol or what, for you to really clean all this wound. Then after that, just apply the antiseptic cream and actually they will heal, unless it's not a wound. You have other things like skin disease or what, then the antiseptic may not work. But if it's a cut or a wound, or you scratch, abrasion and all those things, then you apply, it will heal, it will heal. So this is something you all should know. So always spare at least one tube of antiseptic cream. It's very useful for minor cut or whatever, or injury. You apply them, it's very useful. And it heals very well. And it's very soothing. Then if you have sensitive skin or what, if you suffer from burn. I saw this happening to my father when he was 34 years old. He was burned by the motorbike's exhaust pipe and he has diabetic condition. So because of that, very difficult to heal. He went and apply his own medication. It took a long time. So finally, he tried a Western cream, Western medicine cream. And it really worked out. Zambuk, Zambuk, the purple color one. That one, it seems, is very useful. It can help heal those difficult to heal type of burned skin and all sensitive skin and all things. You try to read about it. I'm not trying to teach you medical things because this is not my field. But because I had some experience, that's why I feel that it's good to share. So Zambuk, I think it's Zambuk. You can buy it from medical shop or your pharmacist, they should have. So these are the few things you can maybe find out yourself. Then have it in your house. It will be handy and useful, especially the antiseptic cream and the alcohol soap to clean wound and all this thing. Okay, we go back to the notes. We'll continue from there. Physically, the body goes through this four state of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Mentally, our thoughts undergo the four state of arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. Illness of the body call for medical treatment. The advice is the same. Bodily illness, you need medical treatment. Like wound and all those things, you have this alcohol soap to clean it, then apply this antiseptic. It recover very fast. It heal very fast. While illness of the mind requires Dhamma, same advice as medicine. So body and mind, together, if you apply the body and mind medicine or medication, then it should heal faster. This is why the Buddha opened 84,000 Dhamma doors in order to appropriately treat the various disease or illness of sentient beings. This is the wisdom of the Buddha. Fourth, the Buddha understands whether the illness has been cured. He can determine whether all the illness and trouble of a particular sentient being have been eliminated. This is just like a doctor who is able to diagnose the illness, treat it with various methods such as surgery, chemotherapy, etc. Then after further examination, he is able to determine whether the root cause of the illness has been fully eliminated. The Buddha understands that the suffering of sentient being is encapsulated in the Four Noble Truths. This is the essential Dhamma, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths. To me, this Four Noble Truths is also like the secret of life. You understand them, you understand life, then you know how to live life. We are these are noble truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones when you understand them. So when you understand this, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. Then you will be very blessed and your life will transform and change for the better. Therefore, he gave those teachings beginning with the truth of suffering. The more living beings there are, the more problems they create. For example, as the size of a family grows, friction grows as well. A proverb says, a big tree has many branches. This means that when there are many children and grandchildren in the family, there will inevitably be difference of opinion, which often cause the family to become divided as opposing relatives move apart. It is rare to see a large family living in harmony. This is very true. I have seen many families. Most of them have big problems. But my family, I was very fortunate because my parents has 9 brothers and sisters and relatively very peaceful, a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding. So far, no major issues. This happened because their mind are not in accord with the Dhamma. If even close relatives from one family have trouble living together in harmony, what can we expect from the multitudes of sentient beings When sentient beings fail to live in harmony, this brings about illness of society and the world. Why is there so much discord between sentient beings? This is caused by the ignorance that arises in their mind. In families, if siblings constantly keep scores and bickle among themselves, it will be very hard on the parent. In society, people are often harmonious in the early stage of a collaboration, but once there are assets involved, conflict can arise and cause hatred and resentment that may permanently damage their relationship. This all arises from ignorance. Ignorance can break apart. Otherwise, harmonious group give rise to conflict and hatred, which brings harm to society. All these different kinds of suffering brought about by discord or disagreement are caused by the 84,000 afflictions that arise out of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The Buddha analyzed the suffering of all sentient beings and found that it is caused by the accumulation of this more various source of discord or disagreement. But the suffering of the world does not stem from only one individual or one family. As the saying goes, all goodness arises from one. Likewise, all evil arises from one too. Discord accumulates from one. From something small into something big. It begins in the mind of the individual, expands to their families, and then on to the whole society, creating a vicious cycle of disharmony that produces recurrent disaster in the world. This is very true. It's spread like wildfire. To mitigate disaster in the world, we must first dispel ignorance from the mind of every living being or person. If every individual can bring the ignorance in their mind to a state of cessation, then both body and mind will be healthy. Therefore, the Buddha teaches according to people's capability and gives the correct teaching to eradicate the illness of sentient beings, means to root out their ignorance. This method of eliminating the illness of ignorance and suffering is known as the path to the cessation of suffering. Okay, we will end here. Is there any more? Oh, good. So we end there. 9:57, just nice. Okay, we will end there. I will mark the page first. And after that, we can have our Dhamma discussion. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Brother Theo. Kevin here. Hi, Brother Theo.
Yes, Kevin. You come in. Yes.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to ask, what is this? I noticed in the process of your teaching, there's a lot of 84,000.
Oh, okay. Very good.
What is the 84,000? Like, is it 84,000 affliction?
The Buddha actually, in his teaching, mentioned, they call it Dhammadors, or 84,000 ways of teaching living beings. So it's a figurative figure to tell you or to explain to you that the Dhamma is very wonderful. It has actually countless ways of teaching sentient beings. So 84,000 is a figure that is big enough and is easy to pronounce. The Mandarin always call it Ba Wan Si Qian Fa Men. So Ba Wan is 80,000. Si Qian plus 4 is 84,000. Dhammadao. Fa Men is Dhammadao. So Dhammadao is the various skillful ways of using the Dhamma or applying the Dhamma to all the individual sentient beings. Different living being has different karmic condition behind, and that one need different advice or different treatment. That's why you must be a Sammasambuddha in order to have the ability to understand all the different type of sentient being and their various condition, karmic condition, their whatever past, so that he can actually understand why is this particular person this life has this type of condition. Even a lot of great beings cultivated all the way, they also have certain understanding that can also do some of this work. Of course, not fully like Sammasambuddha, who is fully enlightened, very exceptional. But a lot of great beings, because they have this understanding, like my nature, I know when I come. That's why most of the worldly peoples, I should say, problems of life or suffering or misery, apart from physical illness and all those things, those that have this type of mental issues, or suffering due to First Noble Truth reality, my nature can understand and I can actually help these people. That's why even at my level, I can do quite a lot of this thing, because I have this very good understanding. Then my understanding is quite complete in that sense. Otherwise, I can't. Because everyone is different. And you will come to realize one thing, like the way I teach Dhamma. The essential Dhamma, the teaching is the same. But there are many ways to approach it. For example, you all have weakness. Kehun, especially you go to Thursday class a lot. So what did I teach at Thursday class? I always focus on the few essential Dhamma, isn't it? You can recall the few essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, then of course the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, then Dhammapada verse 183. So only these few essential Dhamma. But every time the class go on for so many years, it's all based on this essential Dhamma. But the approach to it is always different. Your conditions are different. Then when different people share, different people ask questions, the way I share again different. And I approach it from many directions, many ways. So this is what the 84,000 Dhamma Dao means. Everyone is different. Every situation, every condition is different. But when you have the Dhamma, it is the complete understanding, the wisdom part. You don't just develop knowledge, fragmented understanding. This one is understanding the totality, the full understanding of the Four Noble Truths and its three turning and all the essential Dhamma. Then you are exposed to a lot of what they call life experiences because of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. It takes aeons of birth and death. So all this training, perfection, cultivation and understanding will give rise to a type of spiritual nature, spiritual understanding that is very unique, very difficult for normal living being to comprehend and understand. So when my nature come this life, it takes the segmented life form and mind of what I am having now. You call Brother Teo. So this is my vehicle and tool to come this life during this sasana to do my work, to fulfill my vow, to do whatever this nature of mine have aspired for or vow towards. Then Also, those that have affinity with this nature of mind will come, they will benefit from it, from my teaching, my sharing, and whatever that is appropriate and related. So all this demand understanding. But before I start, when I was young, when I was born into this world, I only have the karmic nature to actually support me. If I was born of my karmic nature, heir to my karmic nature, supported by my karmic nature, supported and conditioned by my karmic nature, I am what I am because of my karma. So when I was young, I actually straight away the karmic nature came and bring forth all those causes and conditions, because all these are based on nature's law, the vows and all those things, and the aspiration, the affirmation and all those things. So that's how it creates all the appropriate condition that my nature has developed. Then my parents were chosen, how I actually arise, all the various type of condition. Then I will know how to search when the time comes. I don't need to have problem or suffering. That's why in the year 1970-71 actually, I started to search when I understand science, geography, then I probe the universe. Then when I received the first book, the Dhamma book from the first edition of the Chief Reverend's that book, what they call it, What Buddhists Believe. So when I read that book, the first edition, remember, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, my nature suddenly arose inside me, that joy. I knew straight away, no need to search, this is it. This is the teaching that I was looking for. Because I realized the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I know that this is the secret of life. That's all I can tell you. When I understand this teaching, I awaken to this teaching, I will understand life and I will know how to live life, and I can be a blessing to many. That's how it all started. Then the beauty of it is after that, when I cultivate, I start to develop the ability to awaken my nature. Then when I was able to connect to my nature in the year 1989, straight away, my spiritual nature came to me and I started inheriting a lot of things from my spiritual nature which I perfected and developed. Then when that thing come, my understanding become different. That's the reason why I told you all a lot of things this life that I share with you all, I taught you all, I never learned them this life. None of my teachers or guide taught me. All these are my own understanding. But my teacher and guide did teach me certain things that I need at that time when I met them. And everyone is different. So what they actually share with me is that thing that I need at that time, the thing that I need at that time. But the understanding of it unfolding is because of my past, my nature. And when the condition all fall into place, my nature will connect because everything is already determined during the early cultivation. That's why the vow, everything, the bodhisattva vow that I teach you is very important, the yellow card. Without that, my understanding cannot be like that. When I come, I cannot have all this understanding. It is from the vow that is surfaced. Then later on when I inherit, I came to understand how my cultivation was. The way I share, the way I give is the way I receive. That's why when I receive, I also receive very fast. Then after that, when I have the understanding, I connect very fast. Then I inherit. And then after that, I will continue from where I stopped the cultivation. That's why I will start to come out and do my work. Through doing my work, Well, to fulfill the vow, my nature will expand. Without all this exposure, can't. That's why without you all, Kayamitas, Dhamma friend, and all those who came and consult me and all those things, my all-knowing understanding and knowledge cannot grow and expand so fast. But because I share, the more I give, the more I receive, the more understanding my nature will receive. But all this you cannot understand now, not until you transform and develop the higher practice. And then my words will have meaning, and then you will develop the understanding. Actually, today we should thank Kat Hun for asking this question. Otherwise, there is no condition for me to share with you. So now I hope I have answered your question.
Thank you, Brother Teo. Thank you very much. Yeah. I have another question still.
Yeah, no problem. You ask.
So I was listening to your podcast, and you were talking about the Four Noble Truths and the suffering. So one of the things that you say about wrong view. So you say that any if I quote correctly lah, any thought that bring fear, anger, delusion, is a wrong view. Did I mention it correctly?
That's
what wrong view.
Okay. Born of wrong view. Yeah, correct. I advise you all, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evil roots are there. Wrong thought has a reason.
So to bring this question to a very layman term will be so you gave example like associating with people you don't like. So in the example you talk about you go like a young boy who goes to school and then they meet a bully. Of course the bully them, and then the feeling will be, so my question will be, it's quite common for the victim to feel angry. So is it anger a wrong view? This is my question.
Okay, thank you. So Kevin Sadhu, my nature rejoined. At least now you are going into the listening part, the step two of Avijja Sutta. You have started to listen attentively. That's why you can pick up all this, sadhu to you. This is the condition for right question, right dhamma. Because when you listen enough, you have been with us for many years. But this is the first time manager really rejoined. You are going to progress after this, and you are going to become very different. So coming back to this second question, you see, I have to explain again. Then you listen to this again, and you will get the understanding of it, the gist of it. This is how I help Eric Tam to actually clear his almost 14 years of depression. Because I remember that Thursday class, we were dwelling on all those wrong thoughts that he wrote in the whiteboard at Suyan's place. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, they are all wrong thoughts. Even your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your doubt and all these things. So even your insecurity, your phobia. So phobia is intense fear, severe fear. Then all of the negative emotion that give rise to negative energy field, that brings about suffering, misery. These are all wrong thoughts. So what is being taught in the teaching is, all the time they talk about the four mind state, Brahma Vihara. They say, right thought means, you must have metta, loving kindness. You must have karuna, compassion. You must have mudita, sympathetic joy. Rejoicing in the goodness and wholesomeness of others. You must have upekkha, equanimity. So this four They are just four of the very large range of right thought. These four happen to be Brahma Vihara, the mind state of Brahma, to take birth there. And they just quote this. Yeah, I look at the way they teach, the teaching, it doesn't serve any purpose. I realize a lot of Buddhists, they learn this, they are not going to benefit. They are not going to transform themselves or become a better person. Then when I develop the understanding and connect, then I realize this is not the way to teach. What the Buddha meant is different. What the Buddha meant is Noble Eightfold Path talks about right view leading to right thought. Then thought, condition, action and speech. That's a right action and right speech. Then right livelihood, the way you live your life. You must have right view first. Without right view, you cannot have right thought. Then I realized a lot of people, before they have the Dhamma or the awakening, the enlightenment, they cannot differentiate between the arising thought and the wisdom part. Because the arising thought for a person who is not enlightened is always wrong thought with the evil roots. Because there is sakkayadity, self-delusion. Then the teaching has been distorted until people hardly understand what the Buddha teach. So what the Buddha say is, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the major evil. If you have these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, it constitutes major evil. It constitutes major karmic negativity. And these three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, can be elaborated. It is a very, very big topic to study. Greed is not just greediness. Greed can even embrace your selfishness, your craving, your lust, your covetousness, your like, your whatever possessiveness and all those things. This is all greed. Your clinging, your grasping, your holding on to things, your attachment. All these are part of greed. And the field is so wide. Then anger, like just now you mentioned in your question, when the student meet with gangsters, people whom they don't like, there is fear, there is unhappiness, there is anger. Is that, you ask, an evil root, an evil mental state? Is that wrong thought? That itself, that fear and the unhappiness are evil roots because it's a natural tendency of kid to react. So you have to understand the extent of greed, hatred, and delusion. I explain this part, then after that I explain the rest so that you understand. I have finished of greed. Then what is anger? Anger or hatred even cover envy, jealousy, your dislike, your negative reaction to sense experience, your unpleasant feeling. All these are part and parcel of the evil root of hatred or anger. In Pali is called dosa. Whereas the first one is loba, greed. Then under the third one is moha, delusion, self-delusion, sakkayadity. So all your fear, your insecurity, your worry, your anxiety, these are under moha. Moha. So these are born of ignorance, delusion. Actually, greed and hatred also born of delusion. Without delusion, the evil roots cannot arise. So when the kid react to this with fear and anger, it becomes a wrong thought. Why? Because it has the evil root there, understand? So the teaching just explained to you what wrong thought is. Whatever thought that arise in the human mind through the mundane mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will be wrong thought. But the teaching never teach you how to recognize wrong thought.
Right.
So that's why I have to teach the other way around. I emphasize the wrong thought. When I teach you what constitutes wrong thought, then you recognize them. So that's why I say I define what is wrong thought. Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are wrong thought. They make you evil. And when you have greed, hatred, and delusion, you will have all the negativity of mind state. That's why I redefine it by bypassing the three evil roots by saying, whatever thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your suffering, your misery, your insecurity, your phobia, your lack of peace, your suffering and your misery, even your selfishness, your lust, your greediness, your covetousness. Yeah. All these are wrong thoughts. Which means whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. So this will make you miserable. This will bring about suffering. And when I speak about this, the depressed people, those who went through the first noble truth reality and suffer, they will understand. Like that kid, when they meet with people whom they don't like, there is suffering because there is fear, there is insecurity, there is anger, there is resentment. But they don't know what to do because they don't have the Dhamma. They doesn't know that these are wrong thoughts. They doesn't know how to seek solution because they are still young. But even very elderly people, old people, when they confront this first number two reality, the eight reality, they also caught. They also don't know how to come out with because they don't have the Dhamma. That's why I keep on advising you all. We hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. So we have to choose wisely. If we choose to be happy, we will be happy. But why are most people unhappy? You mean they don't know how to choose? They choose to be miserable? Nobody will do that. But because they don't know the Dhamma, they don't know these are wrong thoughts that condition their misery, their suffering. That's why they don't know how to come out of it. So understanding wrong thought is the first step towards cultivation. Then after that, the Buddha say, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. Then you have to arise the four right effort to actually to abandon the wrong thought or prevent the wrong thought from arising. Then after that, cultivate the wholesome thought, the right thought that are still not in you. To do that, you must understand what constitutes right thought, wholesome thought. But all these are not taught in the traditional Buddhist teaching. Then the last one is the last right effort to refine upon this right thought and perfect them until they become a part of you. So this understanding are very important. Then the five way to overcome unwholesome thought I have already taught you. The Buddha teach five ways. But the most important one is the third and the fourth way. Yeah, the first two is still thought-based. He said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is to develop right thought, or the virtuous thought without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah. Then the second way is, I have to explain the first way. When you have the opposite right thought, when you have love, metta, you cannot get angry, isn't it? When you have cruelty, or anger, or hatred, you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Opposite wholesome thought of cruelty is compassion. When you develop compassionate thought, you cannot be cruel. You will be full of love and compassion. Then when you have lustful thought, develop contentment and equanimity of mind. That's how you develop it, through understanding, through wisdom. Then second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to all this wrong thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It will condition you into evil. It will make you an evil person. It will condition your evil thought, your evil speech and action. It will cause your karmic downfall. Is that what you want? Your life, you decide. If that is not what you want, you must determine to abandon the wrong thought, to prevent it from arising. Then cultivate the opposite right thought. So when you can reflect on the consequence, the danger of holding on to the wrong thought, you will immediately turn around and determine through your strong virya, spiritual zeal, to cultivate this teaching and to abandon all this wrong thought and do away with all this wrong thought. Then the third way is the meditative way. The Buddha say, just relax, maintain awareness, aware, be with it. If anger arise, fear arise, stay with it, be with it. Kowloon, they all has learned. When you are silent, aware, don't go and think, don't go and suppress or do anything with the anger. Your anger was never you. Develop the understanding of it. Through what? Through mindfulness. Be aware of it. The anger and your awareness become one. Don't do anything. Just silent. Relax, aware, maintain awareness. Find out what happened. It will cease. Your mind become peaceful again. The agitation all gone. When there is anger, fear, worry, anxiety, that restlessness of mind, the agitation, the negativity of energy is there. But when you develop mindfulness and be with it, all this cease. Then you realize, hey, I don't have to do anything. This is my original true mind before the stirring. Before the wrong view went in, condition and stir my mind. That's how they arise. They are dependent originating, condition arising. That's why the Buddha said, all this sankhara, mind state, anger, fear, etc., they are impermanent. And because they are impermanent, you attach and cling, not understanding the nature's law that governs them, you suffer, you become afflicted, you become miserable. And because they are impermanent, it's not you. It doesn't belong to you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Therefore, do not be deluded by it. Don't grasp, don't cling, don't hold. Then your wisdom will arise. If anger is not me, then there is no problem. Why should I get angry? The reason why I get angry is because I have wrong view. I don't understand. I cannot accept them for what they are. I cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha said, wherever, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. They are based on nature's law. Kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, the spiritual law. So when you understand this, you can be at peace. We are conditioned like that, things to be like that. It cannot be otherwise. That's why must you arise fear, anger, emotion? Why must you stir your mind? Learn to see things as they are. Learn to accept them for what they are. Learn to see the world as the world. Learn to understand condition. When you have this Dhamma understanding, you become beautiful. You can be at peace with all things. And this is what the teaching is all about. Not all those thought-based meditation, that thought-based thinking, Dhamma, knowledge-based Dhamma, you know what they teach you or not? Must cultivate right thought. Then they ask you to think of right thought. Then they say, develop the four Brahma Vihara. Please don't quote me, otherwise a lot of argument. Because when you do that, it's thought-based. Thought-based means what? You arise a thought and develop that thought-based teaching. So that right thought, which is you think you have love, you have compassion, you are kind, you are generous, is based on what? based on thought. Before you are enlightened, it's wrong thought. And what is wrong thought? Because this is good according to you. Understand? Not based on nature's law, not based on Dhamma understanding. That's why I saw Kehun put out the thumb up, very big one. That's sadhu to you, Kehun, means you can understand, you rejoice. That's why all these are very important teaching. So before you have the right understanding, you cannot arise right thought because they are based on your views, opinion, and conditioning, your belief system. You think being kind, being virtuous is just the thought process. No. Your view behind that thought process is very important. If you have right view, then only the evil roots are not there. The selfish, egoic mind is not there. Without the wisdom, the right view, the selfish, egoic mind is there. The wrong thought is still there. The atta, very difficult to root out. So this one involves meditation, cultivation. Mm. Okay, Kehun, hopefully you got it this time. Huh?
Yes, so this is the third one. So we got the fourth one, fifth one. But I remember hearing this in
The fourth one is very easy. The fourth one is to trace the origination factor. Why did you get angry, fearful, emotional? Why? When you are mindful and aware, you realize it through your senses. Means after you hear somebody saying negative thing about you or blaming you or put words into your mouth or something that you don't like to listen.
Mm. Of course, for the student, that is a valid case, he's been bullied.
It's not to say valid or not valid. It's the understanding. Why did you stir? Why did you arise fear? Emotion and anger, because he cannot accept him for what he is. That's why you must teach him that there is this law of karma. In the past, very likely you were also bullied in the school. You did this to other kids and other children and make them fearful and suffer like what you go through. This is, you reap what you sow, karmic.
But we cannot tell a student to accept being bullied in
why
that way.
Why cannot? Especially when the parent is there. In front of your parent, you should educate them. Because you did this, that's why the nature's law come back, you become the victim. To ho, uho. Can remember or not? Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You reap what you sow. This is what karma is all about. So if you know this is what you have done to people in the past, now you become the victim, what must you do? You cannot
apologize,
isn't it? You have to accept that this is nature's law. But you can still act. You accept doesn't mean you don't act. You act. Then you give him the solution. Okay, you know this is the case. Teach the kid or the parent how to ask for forgiveness. Understand or not? Repent. Then recite all those things. Then keep the precept. They invoke power of knowledge so that in future this thing will not happen again, so that you can resolve all this amicably. But for the immediate, like your case as a counselor, you can actually teach the parent and the children, say, don't worry, this is coming. So in order to avoid all this for the time being, before you do all those three things that I have shared with you or taught you the spiritual way, the immediate solution is to change school. Change school. Well, I have one parent before. They are one of our Kayamitas too. And that student, I think that time he was in Form 4. Oh, also gangster, a lot of problems. So I taught her what to do. Then they go and change school. Then they do the treating. After that, the boy recovered. Then I also told the boy, I said, don't be foolish. Because to the boy, he was so angry and unhappy, he thought he had the solution. You know what the boy did or not? He said, if I cannot survive being bullied, I join them. Then I don't get bullied. Oh, until the parent panicked. Then I told the mom, I said, you're lying. You have to think, is that the solution? How long can you be with them? Maybe you join them, you don't get yourself extorted and you won't become the victim. But you do this to others. In future, you will have to face all this. You cannot escape. Then the other thing is, do you think they can take care of you for life? After school, what are you going to do? If you join them, you cannot study. You wasted your future. So I told the boy, I said, another 1 over year to go. Put in the effort, that was it. And to pass from 5 and go to university or college is very easy, I say. You don't need to score high grade. Minimum qualification, they take you in. And your parents can afford, I say. They will give you the good education and the good life. And your future is guaranteed. Well, after that, really, the boy clear. And I remember one day when I was delivering a talk in Subang Jaya many years back, the whole family came with the boy and they thanked me for what I have done for them. They really...
Sadhu,
Boy graduated and now very happy. He's one of our Kayamita. A lot of you all know her. but no need to mention him.
Sadhu, brother, thank you so much for the guidance. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, you are a counselor. You need to understand all this. Huh? So, sadhu to you also.
Sadhu, brother, sadhu, thank you so much.
A very good line of questioning that brings about all this condition for all this Dhamma to be shared. Huh? So, my nature rejoice. Let us all rejoice too. Huh?
Sadhu.